Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Man, I am so excited to get into this message today as we wrap up our series entitled Faith Makes It Possible. But I do want to let you know, I need all of the men in the house to wave at me right now. All the men in the house, come on, wave at me. Okay, somebody needs to help this guy out over here. He's not sure. Okay, all the men in the house. Hey, listen, I really encourage you. Okay, next Sunday night, I'm going to be speaking at Shreveport Community Church, and we're going to be speaking around a bunch of crawfish. Okay, so I'm going to extend you the invitation. They tell me it's all you can eat. I don't know how much, you know, how much they got, but that's what they're telling me. So you can sign up right there. The information is on the screen. If you want to take a picture of that and register for that later, that'll be happening next Sunday night. I would love to see some of you in that space and place, you know, cheering your pastor on. Listen, you can come for the crawfish and say you came for me. I'm okay with that, okay? But I really would appreciate if you're able to come out. It's going to be an awesome time of worship, and we will have some good crawfish as well. Well, here in North Point in 2023, we have said that this is our year of legacy. This is our year of legacy, and we are in a current series right now entitled Faith Makes It Possible. And this year, we're spending a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11, and even as Pastor Clarissa was up here a moment ago, and she was talking about the heroes. That's who we find in Hebrews chapter 11. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith, if you would. So many heroes from the Old Testament are mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. And when it starts every single one of their stories, it starts the same every single time. It doesn't matter if we're talking about Abraham or David. It always starts this way, and it says, by faith. By faith, these people were able to do whatever it was that they did. And here it was in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The scripture says this, and without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. So we can see how important faith is, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says that if you are going to be in faith, you have to believe that he is. You have to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We understand that faith is vitally important because we cannot please God without it. So that means that we cannot live the life that God created us to live without faith. And so we started this series by talking about how faith makes the invitation possible. That was on Palm Sunday and extending the invitation for people to come to Easter Sunday. And then on Easter, we talked about how faith makes salvation possible. Faith makes salvation possible. That grace makes it available. There's nothing that we could do to make it available. God is the one who made it available, but faith is what makes it possible. And then last week, we talked about how faith makes transformation possible. That we weren't saved just to go to heaven one day, but we were saved to bring heaven to earth today. That we were transformed to bring transformation into this world, which really leads us right into today's message as we wrap up this series with this thought in this sermon today of faith makes legacy possible. Faith makes legacy possible. Now, actually, just for clarity, I do want to say this, that faith doesn't actually make legacy possible because everyone leaves a legacy whether we have faith or not. Okay, I mean, a legacy is there. And maybe you haven't been around a lot this year and thinking, what is legacy? Listen, a legacy is just a story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. That's why we say everybody leaves a legacy. Because when we start talking legacy, people kind of check out. And they think, well, that's for like really important people. That's for real famous people. That's for world leaders, right? That's for celebrities. Like those are people that leave like legacies. Like I just I just work at a bank in Bossier City, right? Like, I mean, what kind of legacy? No, no, no. Everybody leaves a legacy because everybody leaves a story. Everybody leaves a legacy because everybody leaves a story. So we might not say, okay, faith makes legacy possible. And we had to say it that way because, you know, it's got to be in order for me, right? So it's like faith makes invitation possible. So I can't add words to it because then that breaks up the rhythm, right? So faith makes legacy possible. But in all actuality, faith makes kingdom legacy possible. Faith makes a godly legacy possible. Faith makes the story of your divine purpose possible. And that's what faith makes possible, because you can't leave a legacy of faith if you haven't lived a life of faith. You can't leave a legacy of faith if you have not lived a life of faith. Now let's roll that back just one step, and we could say, you can't live a life of faith if you haven't walked by faith. You can't ultimately leave a life of faith if you haven't consistently walked by faith. Now, this is what the scripture says. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and he says this. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." For we walk by faith, not by sight. And sometimes we'd be, it's kind of like a little confused, like, okay, well, faith, and like, what is faith? And I like the Amplified version, right? The Amplified version of the Bible, it gives you a little context, it gives you a little extra, it gives you a little understanding. That's what I need. I don't know if you need that or not, but I need that in my life. This is what the Amplified version says. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." That this is how we walk by faith, that we live our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. You see, sometimes when we start talking about faith, faith can seem like completely mysterious, right? I mean, it can just be like, faith. You know, and in the church, we can do this a lot. And if you're just kind of coming into this world of Christianity and following Jesus, I want you to know that there's a lot of terms that we can throw out there, right? We can throw out words like faith, and we can throw out words like anointing and anointed, and we can throw out all of these different words of sanctification and justification. And here's what you need to know. The people that are throwing out these words, a lot of them, they don't know what they mean either. Okay. They heard somebody else say it, and they just say, "Woo, that song was anointed." They don't know. They just know they got goosebumps. And so they thought, "Oh, that means anointed," right? And so it's like, "Oh, that was anointed." And we throw out words, and we don't. And faith can be that way. We can use this word of faith, and we're not even really exactly sure what we're talking about. Now let's just say there is an element of mystery with faith, right? How the currency of faith works and the language of faith works with God, and even the origins of how does faith get in, like all of those things, there is an element of mystery to it. But I want to tell you today that faith is not totally mysterious. Okay, so I want to give you two things today that faith is, and I hope that these things will serve as handles for you as you begin to really walk this journey of faith in your own lives. And the first is this, is that faith is definable. Faith is definable. Now, I started with the idea that faith is understandable. That was point number one for a while. And I was wrestling with that because I was like, but it's not really fully understandable, right? You can't have an element of mystery and the whole godness of it all and say, okay, that faith is completely understandable. It's not completely understandable. However, faith is definable. We can put a working definition to faith that will help us work it out in our lives. Okay, I want to say that again. We can put a working definition around faith that will help us work this out in our lives. And if you've been in around our community for a long time, you have heard this definition. I developed this definition of faith over 20 years ago, and it's something that has stuck with me. And this is what I say. This is a working definition of faith. And that is this, that faith is a deep belief that leads to an action, results in obedience, and must be constantly cultivated in your life. Faith is a deep belief. That belief leads to an action. That action should result in obedience. And this journey must be constantly cultivated in our lives. And now today I want to do something that I've never done, because it really, in that definition, there are 4 points, right? You can see that there is a deep belief, there is action, there is obedience, and then there's this idea of being cultivated or cultivation. Here's what I want to do today. I want to give you a working definition for all 4 points, okay? For all 4 points in that right there. And I want to start with a deep belief. And we'll come back to that definition as we go. But faith is a deep belief. So what is a deep belief? Okay, a deep belief is this. It is a strong, genuine trust in God. So that when we say faith is a deep belief, what we are saying is that faith is a strong and genuine trust in God. It is a trust in who God says he is, and a trust that he can and will do what he says he can and will do. It is a strong and confident trust that he really is love. It is a strong and confident trust that his grace really is sufficient. It is a strong and confident and genuine trust that his promises really are true. That is our deep belief. But faith, it must be more than an intellectual belief. It must be more. This is why we can never get stuck or be satisfied with this comment, right? Well, I'm a Christian, right? Well, I believe, right? Well, I believe in God. What did James, the half-brother of Jesus, say about believing in God? He said, even the demons believe in God. So just by saying, I believe in God, so therefore I'm a Christian because I believe in God. He says, hey, you got some company with that. And I don't know if that's company you want to keep, right? Even the demons believe. So it's got to be more. It's got to be more than an intellectual belief. Our faith, it sets the direction of our way of life, which does what? Which leads us to action. So let me give you a little working definition for action. What is action? Action is this. It is movement away from me and my way towards Jesus and his way. So I have this deep belief, the strong, confident, genuine trust that God is who he says he is. And that should lead me to an action of what? Of moving away from me and my way and moving towards Jesus and his way. It's no coincidence, right? That when Jesus was on the earth, what did Jesus walk around and he said what? He said, come and follow me. And the scripture says that the disciples, right, you had Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, it says they left their nets at once and followed Jesus. Matthew encounters Jesus at a tax collector's booth, right, and he walks away from his booth to do what? To follow Jesus, right? There is this idea of movement, of moving away from where you are and moving towards Jesus and where he is taking you. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus came, as Jesus kind of really started off in his very first message that he gave in Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, repent and believe the good news, right? So there is this idea of the action of repentance. And I say the action of repentance because that word repent, the Greek word is actually metanoia that Jesus would have used there. And it means this, to change one's mind. Yeah, just tell them. Just go ahead and tell them you're in church, having a great time. You answer. Just let them know. Let them know. Just say, we're talking about metanoia right now. What you know about that metanoia? Jesus says, repent. It's metanoia. It means to change one's mind. And if you break that word apart, it's literally the first part means like to go beyond or transcending. And the noia is like thought. And so what Jesus is saying is say, look, if you're going to repent, right, you're going to follow me, you're going to repent. There's going to have to be a transcending thought. There's going to have to be a transformation of thought. And by changing the way that you think, Jesus understands that our life will begin to follow. So when people think many times of repentance, they say, okay, I'm going this way and I'm going to turn and go this way. You will never be going this way and turn and go this way if first you don't change the way you think about where you were going. The first thing that has to happen is there is a changing of our mind. So it lets us know this, that to repent is positive. I mean, so there can be a negative connotation around this idea of repentance. It's like, I repent, I feel so sorry, right? No, repent is incredibly positive. Look, the pain of repentance is in the realization and the admitting that I've been doing it wrong this whole time. but sometimes we get this idea, right? When we think of repentance, we think of repenting from sin. But repentance means to change the way you think. And sometimes we don't just need to repent from sinning. We need to repent from settling. Because that's why Jesus says, come and follow me, right? Because I'm going to show you a different way to live. There is a way that you've settled for. There is a normal that you have adapted to. There is an average that you have taken in as your own. I want you to come follow me because I want you to see what it is to live not in the natural but in the supernatural. I want you to come and follow me because I want you to have some transcending thought, some transformational thought. I want to give you some mental pictures that just leave you walking away going, whoo, man, I had no idea that life could be that way. I had no idea that there could be fullness and overflow. I had no idea that I could live with this much peace and this much. I had no idea that that was even possible. And that's why Jesus says, come and follow me, because it's not just you repenting of your sin. It's also you repenting of where you have just settled in life. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Many times when you get in the Christian circle and you think world, right, you think like the devil's domain, and you think evil, and you think all those things. Yeah, I mean, it can mean that, certainly. But it can also just mean there is a pattern that exists within the world's way. There is a settling for normal and mediocrity and average and ordinary. There is a way in the world that people just settle in life. And Paul writes, he says, listen, don't conform to that way. Don't conform to that pattern. Don't conform to that custom of your next door neighbor. You don't have to talk like that. You don't have to respond like that. That's just the way of the world, and it has become our norm. But you don't have to do that. Actually, he goes on and he says, but let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way you think. And that word transform, it's a Greek word, metamorphosis, right? It literally means to change shape or to change form. Think caterpillar to butterfly, right? It's the process that leads to an outward or a permanent change. So I want you to see today how this works together. When I repent, when I change my way of thinking, and I change my way of believing, then I can transform, which means I can change my way of being. I can change my attitude. I can change how I show up in the world, and therefore I can change my way of behaving. You see, the action of following Jesus and the action of repenting and the action of transforming and the action of coming from this brand new deep belief that there is a different way to do life, that process should eventually lead me into obedience. So faith begins in this deep belief. It's a genuine and strong trust. God, you are who you say you are. And because of that, I'm going to move towards you. I'm going to move away from my way and my way of thinking about the world and my way of thinking about people and my way of thinking about politics and my way of thinking about the past, the present, and the future. I'm going to move my way of thinking about what is right and what is wrong and what is this and what is that. I'm going to move away from that and I'm going to move towards you. I want you to transcend my way of thinking. I want transformational thoughts that will cause me to go through a metamorphosis so I'm not even the same person in 10 years that I was 10 years ago. So whenever people see me in the future, they say, what happened to you? You used to be a caterpillar, now you're a butterfly. What happened to you? Because my thinking was so changed that it began to change me. And this is what leads us into obedience. Let me give you a quick little working definition for that word obedience. And this is just for today's purposes, obedience is the firm establishment of godly behaviors that become habits and are evidenced by fruit. This is what it should lead. This deep belief that leads us into this action takes us into this obedience. It should result in obedience. And obedience is just the firm establishment of godly behaviors that become habits. Okay, so it's the firm establishment of godly behaviors, doing life God's way, and doing life God's way becomes a habit for me, and this obedience is evidenced by fruit. It's a critical part of the definition. It is evidenced by fruit. You see, at this stage of the game, at this phase of faith, if we would, we're not just saying, okay, I have a desire to do life God's way, but now I am creating a design to help me do life God's way. This is not the place where there's just a hope I'll make better decisions. Now I'm creating a habit of making better decisions. See, in the beginning, there's this deep belief that God can do a miracle, that God can change me, that God can make me, that I will be who he says I am, that I will have what he says I'll have, that there's a deep belief of that. I start to move towards that, but obedience is the next step of that, where it's not just a hope, it becomes a habit. And this is the element of faith where people can fully see. Because your deep belief is just happening on the inside of you. I don't know what you genuinely believe. I don't know. I can't see that. Nothing I can do. Action is a little bit of both, because it's metamorphosis, right? Like, I mean, you don't know what's happening in that cocoon, right? I mean, if you've never been to school, you never heard. I mean, you just caterpillar one day, right? In a little cocoon. Like, I mean, you just think before you had science class, right? I mean, you just out there hundreds of years ago, right? And you just see this little, you had no idea that coming out of that thing, butterflies gonna come out. You had no idea that was about to happen. You had no idea. The sound effects are free. You're not charged for that, okay? But what's happening in the cocoon is hidden. Your action of moving towards Jesus, the metamorphosis of your soul, that's happening on the inside. Now, people might be able to see little bitty elements of it, but so much of it is happening internally. But when we get to obedience is fully external. It's going to be seen and experienced by others. This is why James, the half-brother of Jesus, as we mentioned earlier, he says in James chapter 2, he says, so too faith, watch this, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead. It's inoperative and ineffective. So he says this, he says, listen, if all you have, really this is what he's saying, if all you have is a deep belief, and you don't have evidence, then that belief is dead. It's inoperative. It's ineffective. It's not doing for you what it is supposed to do for you. Now, I'm not getting into the argument today, where you go to heaven and how do you decide that? Look, I ain't God. I'm just telling you that if your faith, if your deep belief in God is not changing the way you live today, you are cheating yourself. That's what James is saying. We're not arguing about who's going to go to heaven and who's this and how that, we're not getting into that. This is what we're saying. We're saying, if you say that you have a deep belief, but it's not in operation and evidenced by fruit, you are cheating yourself, because the goal of faith is to produce something in your life in the here and now. Let me say it to you this way. Faith must have fruit. Real simple. Faith must have fruit. Real faith has real evidence. Real faith, the faith that God wants us to have, it will be evidence. We will be able to see it. There will be fruit from doing life God's way. And this is why Paul says in Corinthians, as he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, hey, listen, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. He says, test yourselves. Make sure you're not stuck on the deep belief. Make sure you don't just get stuck with saying, well, I believe that God created, and I believe that he sent you, and I believe that he died for my sins. He says, that's awesome, but make sure you have action. Make sure you are walking away from you and your way, and you're moving toward Jesus and his way. Make sure that there is obedience. That whole process should be leading you to this place where other people are experiencing your faith. They can see it. It's like fruit on a tree. See, don't let yourself get by with just saying, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian. Examine the fruit of your life. Real faith produces real fruit. And listen, if you've been around for any length of time, you know, this is not in any way is this to make somebody feel bad or condemn somebody, because it's like, oh, well, if you were really doing that, your life would be. No. This is for us today to examine ourselves. Listen, I don't care what has happened in the past. I want to make sure that the future is better than the past. And if there's not fruit today, I want to make sure there's fruit there tomorrow. So I say, listen, examine yourselves, not so you feel bad. Oh, God, my life is barren. I don't want your life to be barren in a year from now. So let's don't feel bad about that. Let's say, man, I want to do something different moving forward. Examine yourself. Real faith will produce real fruit. And let me just give you a little side note. Don't be fooled by other people either when they say, well, I'm a person of faith. Well, I'm a Christian. Let me talk to all the single people in the room for just a moment. You don't just go, oh, well, they're a Christian because they said they were a Christian. They believe in God. Wow, they're a person of faith. That's what they said. Listen, don't just listen to what they say. Watch how they live. I'm telling you, if they are a person of faith, you will see the fruit. How do I know that? Because Jesus said so. This ain't a Philip-ology, right? This is a Christ-ology. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. Not because they say they're a Christian. Not because they say that they are a believer. Not because they say that they're a Christ. Watch their life. The fruit will tell you who they are. Listen, you tell me you're Christian, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. This ain't skeptical. I'm not saying you tell me you're Christian. I'm be like, well, we're going to wait and see. Don't you leave here and be like, my pastor told me. I mean, I got the scope on you. That's not what I'm saying. Look, I'm always going to believe the best. I'm always going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, praise God, that's awesome, right? But then when your actions start going in a different way, I'm not going to put more trust in what you told me about what you believe than I do in the fruit that I see on the tree. Okay, enough of that for the single people. I'll move on. So you got that deep belief, that action, right? That fruit of obedience, and it takes us to the fourth part of faith, and that is that it must be constantly cultivated. Let me give you a little definition for the word cultivated. This is actually dictionary definition, not made up like the other ones from me. Cultivated means this. It means to promote or improve the growth of by labor and attention. To promote or improve the growth of by labor and attention. I want to go into the book of John real quick in John 15. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Say more fruitful. Jesus keeps on going in verse 5 and he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. Much fruit, say much fruit. So we got this picture here. He's talking about you're more fruitful. You're producing fruit, but you're going to be more fruitful. He says, you stick close to me and you follow me and you keep letting my way transform you. Then you're going to bear much fruit. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Say much fruit. He said, this is to my Father's glory. This is the intended purpose of your life, that you would bear much fruit. Not a little fruit, not some fruit, not a portion, but that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That your fruit would be seen. And would prove to others that you really are a Christ follower. Now, I would say to you today that if you want to continue to possess fruitful faith, then you must submit to the process of seasonal pruning. This is why we say that faith must be constantly cultivated in our lives. Because if you want to possess a fruitful faith, then you're going to have to submit to the process of seasonal pruning. Faith is not about what you did yesterday, but about what God can do in you and through you tomorrow. And you know where we get stuck sometimes? We get stuck talking about the fruit of the good old days. Now listen, when I say that, some people think, that's what like old people talk about, like the good old days, like, 30, 40 years ago. No, we can get stuck talking about the good old days of 2 years ago. The good old days of 2 years ago when we were serving and we were leading a small group and we were doing all the things and, when we were really engaged and we read the Bible through a year, we did that one year back in 2021, right? We read the whole Bible because the whole world was falling apart. Like, I better read now. And so we read the whole Bible in 2021, right? I read the whole thing. And we're still talking about what we did in 2021. We're talking about the fruit that we had in a certain season, and we can get stuck. So don't think the good old days was 3 decades ago. The good old days could have been 3 months ago. So we get stuck looking at, talking about, idolizing, memorializing the fruit of yesterday instead of letting God prune us today for the season that is in front of us. Because cultivation is all about one thing. Cultivation is always about future production. It's about future production. This is why faith needs to be cultivated. Because faith is not looking at how good you did in the past. Faith is looking about what's possible in your future. Faith is not looking at, wow, man, you did so good. Wow, you had so much fruit. And wow, you've done so many good things. And wow, look at the person. Look at the person that you have become. Look, faith is looking at, look, but what about the person you can be? Faith isn't to say, oh, wow, look what God has done in me and look how far he's brought me. Faith is about what can God do from here on out. And God wants to help you in this faith journey. There's things in our life. Listen, there's things in our life that need to be pruned in order to be improved. That's what cultivation is. It's about improving. It's about improving our growth. And so there are deep beliefs in us, that need to be improved. I promise you, for somebody in this room, There is a promise of God that you've almost given up on, partially given up on. I don't know if that's really for me. You know what? You just need to be pruned. In faith, you just need to go through the cultivation process of saying, let the gardener, let God the Father come and let him prune you so that that promise can come alive again. Not only in our beliefs, but sometimes in our actions, right? In our actions. God wants to help us in our actions. There are some ways that we think right now that are tying us to our past instead of propelling us into our future. And God's saying, hey, let's don't settle for that. Let's go through a little metanoia. Let's go through a little repentance. Let's go through a little changing the way that we think so that we can get this action, so that we can move into what? So we can move into this obedience, this firm establishment of new godly behaviors in our life that will become a habit and will result in what? New fruit in our lives. God wants to help us on this faith journey, but there's got to be cultivation in every area constantly happening if we are going to grow in our faith. So when we say faith makes it possible and faith makes salvation possible, and it makes transformation possible, and it makes legacy possible, we understand that there is a journey of faith happening in each and every one of us, that God wants to work it all out, which takes us to the very last point as we close today. And not only is faith definable, but the second thing is that faith is growable. I don't need any English word, any English teacher telling me that's not a real word. I know that. But it makes sense, right? Faith is definable and faith is growable. Faith is growable. This is the good news for us, because when we submit to the process, let me just give you a few scriptures and we're gonna wrap up and the person on the keys can come on out. Growable, let me just give you 2 Thessalonians is what the scripture says. We must always thank God for you, brothers and sisters. This is only right because your faith is growing more and more. The level of faith that you have now better not be the level of faith you have a year from now. It needs to be growing. Faith is growable. Faith is growable more and more. Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 20 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. When he started with one faith, but his faith grew stronger. 2 Corinthians 10 says, we hope that as your faith continues to grow, you will help our work grow much larger. He says, listen, as your faith grows, you're going to get more active in the kingdom. You're going to do more. You're going to partner with us more and more in what God wants to do in the earth, the more your faith grows. So do you see how important cultivation is? That it's not like this moment where we say, well, in 1983, I prayed this prayer at First Baptist Church and I signed this card and I was baptized 10 days later and I believe in God. No. There's this journey of faith. There's action, there's obedience, but then there's this cultivation. Why? Because faith is growable. Faith can increase. It can become more and more. Faith can become stronger. And as our faith grows, our kingdom work can grow. It's growable. What's growing? Man, my deep belief is growing. Can I tell you that I had a genuine and strong trust in God 20 years ago? But my genuine and strong trust in God is bigger and more real and stronger today than it was 20 years ago. Why? Because faith is growing. I remember the action that I took as a teenager to say, I'm going to step away from me and my way, and I'm going to move towards Jesus and his way. Man, I remember the metanoia. I remember when I had some of those big thoughts about the kingdom and wow, life doesn't have to be this way and God can make everything different. And man, I remember those, but do you know I'm having more metanoia experiences, more changing of my thought today than I ever had then. Why? Because it's cultivation, obedience, this firm establishment of godly behaviors that become habits and are evidenced by fruit. Man, I remember as I put some of these things into practice in my life, and some things that used to be form became habits for me. But can I tell you today that that is happening at a more rapid level than ever before? Why? Because faith is growable. And if you are willing to do the work and partnering with God to cultivate this thing called faith, you will become more fruitful. And your deep belief will grow. And your actions will grow. And your obedience will grow because you committed to this process of cultivation. And it is this kind of faith that I'm describing to you today that makes legacy possible. It's this kind of faith. Let me step on your toes real quickly one more time before I close. Saying that you believe in God and that you are a Christian does not create a legacy. Because your story is not going to be what you said you were. Your story is going to be how you showed up. And only this process that we talked about will let you get to the end of your life and the people will have a story and say, let me tell you about her. Let me tell you about the metamorphosis that I saw. Let me tell you about the fruit that I saw. Let me tell you about how she loved people so deeply. Let me tell you about what she taught me about how to overcome offense. Let me tell you about what they taught me about sacrifice and worship. Let me tell you who they were and the impact that they made on my life. You having a deep belief alone will not impact anybody's life. But when you say, man, this deep belief is leading me to an action, I'm going to step out of my way. I'm going to get into Jesus' way. And then I want that to begin to result in this obedience, this firm establishment of godly behaviors that become habits in my life. This becomes who I am, and it begins to result in fruit. And I'm not satisfied with the fruit I have today. No, I'm committed to this cultivation process because I want more fruit in my future. So I say, God, prune me if you need to prune me. Do whatever you got to do because I want to be more fruitful so more people will see you in my life so that I can leave a legacy where people will say, hey, this is what they said. But let me tell you how they lived. They lived even better than they talked. This is who they were. This is their story. This is their legacy. Faith makes that kind of legacy possible. And that legacy is possible for every single one of us in this room. All we have to do is commit to the process of walking this journey of faith with God. And when we get to the end, we will leave a legacy of faith because we lived a legacy of faith, because we learned what it is to walk by faith each and every day. Won't you stand with me today? Today, our lead acrostic, we'll throw it up on the screen. I get in trouble when we don't. People want to take a picture of it. What did we learn today? Faith is definable and it's growable. Faith is, don't let faith be some of this mystery. I don't really know. It's kind of, I think it's like kind of just like believing in God. No, it's definable and it's growable. What element of my faith needs the most attention now? What element of it? What is it? Is it the deep belief? Man, maybe right now, that's like where it starts for you right now. Maybe, man, there's so many doubts and so many things. It's like, man, like I'm really struggling at the belief level. Or maybe it's at the action level. You know, say, no, Phil, there's a deep belief. It's genuine. There's a trust. But it, man, I'm really struggling leaving my net. I mean, I got my little world in this booth right here. And I know, I'm supposed to walk out. But, man, I'm really struggling with this action, this movement away from my way to Jesus' way. Or maybe you got that down and you walked away from that, but you just say, man, I'm having a hard time with this, like, resulting in obedience, like this consistency, this firm establishment of godly behaviors that really become habits and are really bearing fruit. Or maybe you're there right now. Maybe you realize, man, I've been there for so long that I forgot the cultivation aspect because I have such a good history. I have such a good track record that I forgot. Wow, no, faith isn't just about what God has done in me and through me in the past. Oh, faith is about what God can and will do through me in the future. The application, invite the Holy Spirit to help improve that element. Wherever you feel like I'm stuck, whatever one of those four elements, just say, Holy Spirit, come and help me with this. Help my deep belief. Help my action. Help my obedience. Help this cultivation process. And then the D is always the same. Just do it again. Just keep on doing it again, over and over and over again. I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this thing called faith. Thank you that it is mysterious. It is holy. But it is also definable. And it is growable. And you have called each and every one of us in this room to walk by faith so that we can live a life of faith, so that we can ultimately leave a legacy of faith. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you walked in and said, man, I came in here today. I didn't even really believe in God. But you say, man, something's happening right now on the inside of me. Maybe you've given up on God. Maybe you've been hurt, disappointed, abandoned, abused. You say, man, I've just kind of given up on God. But something in your heart right now is stirring. You say, man, I want to believe again. I want this deep belief. I need this strong trust in God. Maybe today you say, I've got to get some movement. I've got the belief, but man, I need some movement. I got way too much me in my life right now. I got way too much of my way and my opinions and my perspectives and my wants and my needs and my stuff. And I need to move away from me so that I can begin to follow Jesus and his way more closely. Maybe today you need that obedience. You need to establish godly behavior as a habit. Not just as a hope, but as a habit. Or maybe today you say, Philip, I need to be cultivated. I kind of got stuck, just kind of looking over my shoulder. So proud of who I am, so proud of what I've done. Not in a bad way, in a good way. Man, God's done so much. And you say, but I kind of got stuck looking over my shoulder, not realizing that God wants to cultivate something inside of me for tomorrow, for next year, for the rest of this year. Today you say, Philip, Holy Spirit is resonating with me in one of these areas. What, no matter what it is, you say, man, I'm ready. I am ready to take this step, this journey of faith. I'm ready to take this next step as the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and provides. I'm ready today to take this next step because I want to leave a legacy of faith. I want to leave a legacy of faith, and so I'm ready to take this step to walk by faith in one of those four areas. Come on, if that's you right now, I just want you to lift up your hand. Just say, that's me. The Holy Spirit's talking to me about one of these areas right now. Revealing me. It's about my belief. It's about my movement. It's about my obedience. It's about cultivation. You say, I want to walk by faith so that I can live a life of faith, so I can leave a legacy of faith. Come on, with that hand lifted in the air right now, I want you just to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I want to leave a legacy of faith. I want to live a life of faith. So help me to walk by faith each and every day. Father, thank you today for your word. I thank you for each and every person in this room that lifted up their hand. God, I thank you today, Holy Spirit, that you are moving, that you are working. And God, I declare, Father, as we begin to get on this journey, walking out these practical aspects of faith, God, that we will begin to see change and transformation in our own lives. God, that we will not just walk by faith each day, but we will begin to live a life of faith so that we can, at the very end of our life, say we are leaving a legacy of faith for our friends and our family and the next generation. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.